creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Did you know that Winona was home to a silent film actress, an opera singer, and a beautician to the elite and ladies of the night? Today on Culture Click, we will hear from Jennifer Weaver, Assistant Director of the Winona County History Center, as she speaks to us about six Winona women who had an impact on local history. Jennifer will introduce us to the lives of Catherine Goddard Smith, Emma Shelton, Mabel Marvin, Grace Watkins King, Jeanette Lamberton, and Myrtle Huntsley. You're listening to Culture Click.
There's a quote that states, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." It's a fun idea, it's a fun quote, but there are all different types of women that have made a lot of history in all sorts of different countries around the world, in the U.S. history, and even here in Winona. And it was actually hard to pick and choose which women to talk about, because there are so many. And so I picked six women. So without further ado, we'll start at the beginning and talk about Aunt Catherine. Catherine McClure Fruit Goddard Smith, also known as Aunt Catherine for short, was an outstanding pioneer woman in Winona's early days. She was born in Pennsylvania in 1812 and married Abner Goddard on March 21st in 1833. They traveled by covered wagon to Pittsburgh, where they then went by steamer to Jacksonville, Illinois. After traveling back and forth a couple times, the Goddards came to La Crosse in 1851, just as Winona was born. They came up to Winona on May 12, 1852. Just a few months later, unfortunately, Abner died in September. Catherine's life was ridden with tragedy, but her ability to endure loss with the concern for others' well-being instead of her own was truly inspiring. She lost four children to scarlet fever early in their marriage, and she lost two more children along with her husband, Abner, that first fall in Winona. She would lose another child to typhoid fever. Her son, Charles Goddard Smith, served in the Civil War, but upon returning home, fell ill and died at the age of 24. His sister also died of an unexpected illness as well. Catherine's second husband, A.B. Smith, was the landlord of the Minnesota House and a proprietor of the Wabasha Prairie House here in Winona. Smith unfortunately disappeared and was thought to be murdered just a year after their wedding. Now, we do believe that Catherine was a very sweet, caring woman, even though all these deaths seem a little suspicious. But nothing was ever found out about what happened to him. Of course, there were lots of land squabbles at the time, and who knows what may have been his fate. But after all was said and done, Catherine was left with one son, Orrin Fruit Smith, not to be confused with Captain Orrin Smith, the founder of Winona. Catherine's Orrin became Winona's leading historian, saving many of city's important documents. And his mother, of course, was revered by the community as a generous and kind soul. Her home played host to early school classes, a new immigrant refuge place, a place for social gatherings, medical services, and worship as well. Though she had much personal loss, she directed her attentions to her community and her family within that community. She was not only an aunt to everybody in early Winona, but she was a mother figure as well. She died on June 2nd, 1888, at the age of 76, and her portrait was painted by another pioneer woman, Jane Ely. Now, as we move through time a little bit, we come across a lady named Mabel Marvin. Mabel was born in Winona and is the daughter of Matthew Marvin, whose letters during the Civil War to and from loved ones are part of our collection down in the archives. He was born in New York in 1838 and came to Winona in 1859. Marvin worked as a clerk for J.J. Randall & Company, a leather goods store here in Winona. And then he was mustered into Company K at the age of 22 and was wounded at Harrison's Landing and suffered a severe foot wound at Gettysburg. In 1864, Marvin returned to St. Charles and married Angie A. Towell in 1867. In 1873, he was appointed superintendent of Woodlawn Cemetery and worked there until his death in 1903. His daughter, Mabel, was educated at the Winona Normal School, which is now Winona State University, and she went on to teach in Chatfield and surrounding towns before returning to Winona in 1911. Mabel also became secretary treasurer of the Civil War Veterans Organization of the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment, in which her father, of course, served. For 25 years, she kept her father's letter writing alive by writing a personal letter to each and every member to give them news of their comrades until all of them passed away. And we have Company K's roster in our archives, but she wrote a lot of letters during her lifetime. She also was the first Minnesota's guest at Gettysburg on the 50th anniversary of the battle, where she gave a reading at the dedication of the 1st Minnesota Regiment Memorial. And she also unveiled the statue of the 1st Minnesota's leader, Colonel William Colville, at the Minnesota State Capitol. Mabel was an active member of many organizations of Winona, such as the Order of the Eastern Star, the Ruskin Club, Winona County Old Settlers, and the Winona Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. She was honored by them with the Marvin Scholarship, which is given annually in her name. She was also a past colleague of ours here. She was a secretary and a curator at the Winona County Historical Society for a while. Now we have Emma Shelton. She was the wife of a railroad porter and opened Winona's first beauty shop at 63 West 2nd Street on May 13, 1909. She was born March 1, 1865, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to a black mother who was a former slave. Her father was half black, a quarter Irish, and a quarter Cherokee, so she had quite the background. He was a blacksmith, and Emma and her mother worked at a cafeteria in a maternity hospital. At the age of 37, Emma married Virgil Shelton, and 2 days after their wedding, Virgil reported to work in Winona for the railroad. Emma started a catering service at the Meadowbrook Golf Club here in Winona, and they purchased a restaurant in 1905 that was once ran by James Stovall, another successful African-American that moved to Winona from the South after the Civil War. For reasons unknown, they ended up closing James's store 6 years later, and Emma was actually kind of a mother figure or a sister to him, or a daughter figure, I should say, or a sister to him, caring for him in his old age. Emma ended up enrolling in a beautician school in Chicago, and when she came back, she started out going door-to-door with her bag of shampoos and lotions in Winona. So Emma already had a business of many wealthy Winona women of the time when she opened her shop on 2nd Street. Emma soon expanded her business by taking a course in podiatry. Then she set up her shop to also trim the corns and calluses of those Winona elite as well. She was a generous woman. It was not uncommon for tramps and travelers from the nearby railroad to stop at her shop and ask for a handout. Emma would never actually just give them money. She would call a restaurant owner that she knew around the corner and arrange for a bowl of soup to give them. She also cared for the women of Winona's Red Light District, having a shop nearby, made sure that they kept their health up and had enough to eat, and that their housing was adequate. On June 18, 1914, an African-American baby girl was left on Emma's doorstep. A note was tied to the basket, and it read, "Put the child on the post office steps at midnight if they did not want it." The baby, only identified as Little Sunshine, was adopted by Emma and Virgil, and they ended up naming her Grace. Emma and Virgil also had two other foster children, Dorothy and Gertrude, and they had a son of their own, which they called Larkin. Emma was a member of the Central Methodist Church, and she passed away in 1951 and is buried at Woodlawn Cemetery. Now we're on to Jeanette Lamberton. She was born August 31st, 1869, and 18 years later, she came to Winona. She is best known for her talents in the musical and theatrical history of Winona, and she studied music in Chicago as well as Paris. She married Henry Lamberton in 1892. He was a lawyer and a member of the wealthy Lambertons, who we all think of when we drive on Huff Street by what now we see as the Lamberton House, originally built by the Huff family, though. She often sung at the Winona Opera House, which used to be right across the street, but it was unfortunately razed with some other buildings in downtown. She also performed at the Winona Symphony Orchestra and was celebrated in the local newspapers for her talents as well. As we search through looking for articles, there's just a ton of them singing her praises, and they're so poetic. I'll just read a short section of one to you. The following appreciation of Mrs. Lamberton's vocal art and of her generous cooperation in the advancement of musical affairs in Winona has been contributed by one who speaks with authority. This was written by a local conductor. Who speaks with authority, gained from many years of active interest in the development of municipal music in this city. And so she had a huge influence on art and culture in this town. And of course, as we know, we have grown into quite the location to come to for the arts, with Shakespeare and all the things that go on in town with Beethoven Festival as well. Jeanette had a colorful personality, and while she had her musical career, she also raised two children and remodeled the Huff House into the Lamberton House. She added on that big porch that you see is the most obvious part that they did while they lived there. She had a very active social life among Winona's elite. And like I said before, Jeanette had two children, and this is a wedding of her daughter, Margaret. So we see Jeanette there with her husband, Henry, and her daughter, Margaret. And then Margaret married Charles Sweet, who was also the founder of Honeywell. Quite the interesting man himself. Jeanette passed away in 1956. And with all these fun characters, of course, she was also portrayed in The Cemetery Walk. This was 1999, I believe, the first Cemetery Walk that Jeanette. Now, we can't do a program on the history of Winona women without mentioning Grace Watkins King. You know, obviously, she has had and can have her own whole program for her life and can be here all afternoon talking about Grace and her family. But she, as many of you probably know, J.R. Watkins, the founder of the Watkins Company, had only one child who lived to be an adult, and that was Grace. Grace was born on August 8, 1877 in Plainview, and she moved here with her family in 1885 to grow their family business, the Watkins Company. Grace was a very interesting woman who became a nationally recognized trap shooter, and she trained and shot with Annie Oakley. She was also a big game hunter, and you can see some of the animals that her and her family shot on their safaris to Africa over at the Winona National Bank. If you haven't been on the second floor of that bank, you should walk over there today after you're done and go check them out. Everything from a big elephant ear and skull to little tiny cute little African dik-dik deer and guns. And they also have an interesting exhibit in one of the meeting rooms upstairs as well. It's free to look around. You're more than welcome to go up there. So that's kind of an interesting place to check out, kind of a little unknown museum in Winona. She was also had her feminine side and did some artwork. These are some really tiny watercolors that are downstairs in the archives that are part of her journals and diaries. And she also is a great collector, which I'll talk about in a minute, and a writer as well. A woman ahead of her time, she was as active as she could be in her father's business. Her cousin Paul ended up running the company for a while, with Grace keeping an eye on things as a board member, of course. In 1904, she married E.L. King, who was a typewriter salesman, and he knew a good thing when he saw it. So E.L. King became involved with the family business, but also grew his own wealth in Winona, having founded Winona National Bank. And the two of them had a couple children, E.L. Jr. and Mary Eleanor. Grace and E.L. had a summer home in Homer called Rockledge. Again, another program all on its own, which I know Mark has done a few times. Very interesting history of this place. It was designed by architect George Meyer, and Rockledge should certainly be considered one of Meyer's major achievements. The Kings picked a dramatic site overlooking the Mississippi River just south of Winona, and Grace made many of the decisions that went to the home's design. We have some correspondence between E.L. King and George Meyer down in our archives, and they're kind of fun to read through. There are several that have, "Please see Grace's notes," or, you know, "I'd like to consult with Grace before, you know, X, Y, and Z happens." So she did have a say, and probably made sure she did as well. The home was described as having gentle, segmented arches and porches that pulled the house back to the earth. And its interior was designed to match its exterior, so it's kind of a big package deal, all the way down to this plates and silverware. Rockledge was essentially gutted in the 1930s and remodeled into an Art Deco palace. George Meyer's son, Philip, was hired to do that work, and the 28-room home was unfortunately razed in 1987. But as I mentioned before, Grace was also an avid collector. Most of the Native American artifact collection that we have here at the History Center is from Grace's estate, including the Native American woven bag collection that's on exhibit downstairs. She also donated a huge glassware collection, but she had a ton of antiques and different collectibles. We even have her carriage downstairs in our main exhibit gallery. So she saved everything, which was neat. That's why we have history, right? Another woman that we cannot have a program about Winona women in history without mentioning is Myrtle Huntley. Before she came the famous Myrtle Huntley, she was known as Myrtle Barnes, and she was working with her stepfather, William Brandon, a piano player in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, when she met Ben Huntley. Ben was a cartoonist for the Oshkosh Times, but soon became interested in show business when he was given a motion picture projector by his stepfather. Now, I noticed when reading through all this, stepfathers and stepmothers, and kind of thought, well, okay, so people in show business couldn't stay married even back then, so kind of interesting. He demonstrated this new projector to Carl LaMalle with Myrtle as the leading lady in his footage. Carl was so excited and invited the couple to Hollywood. The Huntleys did not follow Carl, however, who went on to found Universal Studios. Instead, they made a name for themselves here in the Midwest as vaudeville's leading couple and pioneers in the birth in motion picture photography. Myrtle was always center stage and was quite the actress. She and Ben came to Winona in 1910, and Ben set up a photo studio, and Myrtle entertained in vaudeville productions. Ben and Myrtle entertained Winona and in other cities across the Midwest with their vaudeville acts. Myrtle was more than happy to get dressed up and act in front of Ben's motion picture camera. The two shot a lot of short movies around Winona County and captured a lot of footage of the area, of events and its people. And we have a lot of those little films in our archives. She also portrayed Princess Winona. So we can say Myrtle was definitely Winona's leading lady for a while. Her and Ben had a son, his name was Howard, and he acted with them, as well as Myrtle's mother is seen in a lot of the films that they made as well. The couple ended up retiring in Black River Falls, where Myrtle operated a costume shop, fittingly enough, but they loved Winona, and so their final resting place is here in Woodlawn Cemetery. So all these ladies had left their mark on Winona's history, as well as many more. So thanks for coming out on a beautiful afternoon.
A big thank you to Jennifer Weaver, Assistant Director at the Winona County History Center, for her talk on Winona women in history. You've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.